today's message is rejecting wisdom. Rejecting wisdom. And all of us in our life have felt times of rejection. And it doesn't feel good, does it? When we put ourselves out there and we expect someone to receive us and then we're rejected, it is not a good feeling. But wisdom is calling out for us. Wisdom is daily calling out for us. How does wisdom respond if we reject wisdom? And that is going to be the main focus of our day, of this passage or this message today, is what is the heart of wisdom when it is met with rejection? Have you, including myself, have we drawn closer to wisdom through these series that we've been on for quite a while now? We had the series, The Call of Wisdom, and then we moved into the series, Living Proverbs, meaning that the Word of God is living and it should be actively living in our steps. And the question that I ask myself as well, has anything changed in the way you seek God's wisdom over this series that we've just experienced? Are you closer to wisdom? Are you closer to the Word of God? I think all of us here know that habits form over a period of time, and once they form, they're very difficult to break. But when they're good habits formed, hallelujah. When they're bad habits, then there's problems. But there is no better habit to form than to be a seeker of wisdom that is seated before wisdom each and every day. Here's a question. Will wisdom silence its call to the unresponsive heart? Will wisdom eventually just say, I've called and I've called and I've called and there's no response? Will wisdom silence its call to the unresponsive heart? For some, wisdom is never fully brought to life within them. They live throughout this journey called life, and they never let wisdom have a foundation within. The rejection of wisdom is solidified not by our words, but by our steps. Actions, more than words, tell the story of our relationship with wisdom. And the question that I asked myself over this past week, how have my actions presented my desire for the nurturing of God's wisdom into my life? For if I am not at the table of wisdom, I will not become wiser. The heart of rejected wisdom. You find it interesting that wisdom is presented to us as Lady Wisdom and also as Father Wisdom. And here we're given this beautiful image of how we are to treat wisdom. Wisdom is a relationship. And we know this, when people are rejected, hopefully, honest words come to us, but sometimes words that are seated in the flesh come and they're very painful. But we know this, truth can be tough, can it? Truth can come in ways that jar us. And as we look at this first verse in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, and this is a beginning of this is a two-part message that will wrap up our series next week. This gives us a glimpse into the heart of rejected wisdom. It allows us to look at Father Wisdom. It allows us to look at Lady Wisdom and to see the heart that forms when rejection is offered. When rejection is the action, the heart of rejected wisdom. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Now, these are not easy words. Not at all. So let's look. Simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? And then this one would have probably gotten my mouth washed out with soap at my home growing up. Idiots. Now, this is the Message translation. And normally it says fools. And if you ever said that word fool in my house, you were in a lot of trouble. But the Word of God is letting us know our condition when we reject wisdom. Idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? The hard words of truth. The heart of rejected wisdom goes to the very core of who we are. You ever heard the term emotional intelligence? You ever heard that word? It means that within us is the ability to perceive how our actions are affecting others. By avoidance of certain reactions or by acting in an unbecoming way. Some people just lack the ability to have emotional intelligence. So for some, the rejection of wisdom is no big deal because they don't think beyond themselves. And it's really hard to be sensitive to what my actions are producing in the hearts of others. We as God's children should always be mindful of how He feels about our responses. But if we lack emotional intelligence with humanity, how much more will we lack emotional intelligence with our Creator? And the only fix to that is the presence of God's Holy Spirit coming in and igniting and growing our intelligence, emotional intelligence, to be aware of what our actions are producing. The hard words of truth. Am I responding to wisdom's cry? You heard it? Wisdom is calling out at the city gates. Wisdom is crying out loud. There is an effort of God to get our attention. But here, wisdom tells us some people choose to just be simpletons. Simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? Here's the attitude of wisdom. Wake up. Wisdom awaits you. Do you see what I want to give you? Why do you not want it? Why? Because I like things just simple and surface. I perceive this life, I just want to have fun. I don't want to go deep. I just want to kind of get by. The simpleton, the pit of ignorance is not your destiny. That's what wisdom is crying out. Ignorance is not what I created you for. I created you to ever grow in the knowledge and the freedom that I have to offer. But some are just content to take light with wisdom. Light. Don't want much. Just enough to kind of make me feel okay. Wisdom wants to deepen us. It wants to arise in us to pull us out of paths that lead us into ignorance. Wisdom is not dependent on our ability. Some people give up on searching out the truths of God simply because they say, I'm just a simple person. It's not important that I go to those places, but it is important. Wisdom is not dependent on our ability. Even the one that struggles with so many different learning abilities, those are not barriers that keep you from growing in the wisdom that God has for you. So you say, I wasn't good in school. Doesn't matter. Of course, it matters that you apply yourself in school, but did you do your best? Did you give it your full heart? And sometimes we have to look back and say, no, I didn't. I was what? I was simple. But no, it's not an issue of IQ. It's not an issue of grade point average. Wisdom is offered to all, and the beauty of it alleviating a life that is viewed as a simpleton is all at its expression to the heart that will simply come. Simple is no excuse for a foolish heart. See, when we go before the throne of God, just saying, God, it just wasn't something that I was good at, that's not an excuse. Because the wisdom that God has for us is offered if we will just simply come. And simple is no excuse to live in foolishness. See, James reminds us of where wisdom comes from. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives what? Generously to just the smart, the high IQ, the super disciplined life. No. He says, who gives generously to all. And then listen to these next two words. Without reproach. You know, there's people right now sitting at home checked out of growing in God simply because of their past. Because they've messed up so bad that their history is keeping them from the future and the present that God has. And God is letting us know, hey, I know you can be a simpleton. I know you can be a cynic. I know, and forgive me, mama, you can be an idiot. You can be foolish. I know that. And I'm not holding that against you. Come and know, I will give generously to the one who asks, to all without reproach, and it will be what? Given him. Can we say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
The abundant giver of wisdom. So if I am stuck in the attitude of a simpleton, God, forgive me and move me to the places that you desire. See the heart of rejected wisdom. You've been there. You hurt somebody's feelings. You didn't go in the path they wanted you to go in, and you felt the harshness of their response. Wisdom is God. And God's response is perfect. God's response can be harsh, but it's always perfect. So let's look at these hard words of truth. Simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? That's an ugly image, isn't it? Just rolling around in the mud and being what? Happy about it. I saw a video the other day of this pig that they had given this pig a bath. Some people really love pigs. And they even have them as pets. And this pig was all cleaned up. And the next thing, the pig just ran right into the mud and just was spinning all around and couldn't be happier. Saw one also with the Labrador. Beautiful dog, decided that puddle looked better than any other place and was just rolling in that mud. May we not wallow in something that we feel contented with when God is saying, simpleton is not why I created. I did not create you to be a simpleton. I did not create you to be a simpleton. And then here, cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? Idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? Cynic, a good way to describe a cynic is this, a doubter. Somebody, you tell them one thing, they always got an answer for another side of it. The cynic builds his pride in his own opinion. The cynic sees the fountain of wisdom seated in his own intellect and his own ability. The cynic does not give honor to where the true source of wisdom comes. The cynic will give words to God, but will not give their full heart to God. See, stop doubting and placing wisdom, placing your wisdom before your Creator. Cynics, how long will you what? Look at that word, feed cynicism. What's the appetite? It's how I feel is the most important thing. So if my opinion is what I relish in the most, then I'm going to feed it and feed it and feed it. That's why when we live in a world that is drifting further and further from God and we are not disturbed by it, why? Because we've been feeding from the wrong source of wisdom. God never changes. And His wisdom is true through every age, and it will not be modified. So why would we allow our doubt to position us in places where we're nodding our head to the foolishness that's going on around us? Simpleton, cynic. Proverbs 3:7 tells us this. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So fear of the Lord is another way of saying respect. When I question what's going on around me, what is the information, what is the source that I trust in? A cynic will trust in his molding of the condition that is led by his own fallen heart. Whereas the one that is wise will go to God's word to see what truth really is. Truth does not evolve. Truth is everlasting and solidly positioned, and it doesn't need our help. But you know, we like to give it our help, right? We like to edit the things that we don't agree with. See, the cynic finds it this way. When the Holy Spirit comes and says, why are you nodding your head to that being okay? It's because this is how I feel about it. The cynic sees what God says and elevates his authority above the word to make him feel okay in what he calls now justified truth. See, let's look further in James. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be what? Given him. But look closer now. But let him ask in what? In faith. With no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now, here, there's so much in this passage, but I want you to look again. Roadblocks to wisdom. If you're going to ask for wisdom, you have to ask in faith. Faith in what? In self? No. Faith in the peace of mind that my flesh will give me about a matter? No. Faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Doubting of what? The truth of God, that his wisdom is sourced to come. His wisdom will come. We must not stop at that which we're satisfied with. We must seek and know that which is coming is truly the wisdom of God. See, for the one who doubts, the cynic, is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now I was thinking about why the wave in the sea? And if you've ever been to the ocean, you understand waves are very consistent, aren't they? And they're very much controlled by the wind and the climate that is going on, the weather conditions. And they're moved, and sometimes they're huge, and sometimes they're small. Sometimes they have the white caps on them. But one thing that's consistently true about a wave, it is short-lived. It comes, and it goes. It is led by influences beyond itself. It is at the will of others. So in our lives, waves, again, are temporal. So that which we feel satisfied in, what is the wind that is leading that mindset? What is the source that's controlling that which we trust in? And there is a wind that is coming to take us and to lead us down paths that God never intended. And it is called the wind of the flesh. And the flesh will orchestrate in its chorus with the spirit of the world that surrounds us. And it will blow in, it will control us, it will move us, it will make us feel big. But it will lead us to temporal places. For you and I have one life upon this earth, one life and one life only. And that which we do with that life is that which God is going to examine. And what God has set is a wind that is so much greater than the wind of our flesh or the wind of this world and the fallen spirit that leads this world. We have the wind of the Holy Spirit living within us. As you sat during communion time, focusing in on God, God's presence was here, not at a distance, but to speak in you because he lives in you. And all that wisdom wants is to expand the boundaries of the spirit of God's wind within us. But if we don't want it, he will not force it upon us. If we want our flesh to be the wind that drives us, that makes us become a wave, if we want the winds of this fallen world to direct us, we are free to do that. But remember, it is a wave that is controlled by a source that is not of God, and it is short-lived. It is temporal. It is not the rock of Jesus Christ. It is the sand that will cause a crumbling. How sad it was to see this condominium complex in Miami crash down in the middle of the night with all these people feeling safe and secure within their homes. When's the last time we've looked at a condominium, a high rise in America, and that we've stayed in at some time and ever questioned its stability? Some people like getting at the highest floors possible. But people that night went to bed feeling totally secure because they were safely behind locked doors in their homes. And you saw the devastation that happened. But it was like this. Somebody walked in the basement of that condominium. Someone whose responsibility it was to see if this structure is sound. Photographs were taken, highlighted, and says this structure is not stable. Pictures of cracks that were not normal. The city knew that that area was sinking over years, but ignored to the detriment of precious lives that God created. See, God is inspecting the foundations that we trust in. And wisdom will not hide the evidence. No, wisdom will do something about the situation. But just as the one who managed that property, whose responsibility it was in that city to make sure that place was safe for people, God has given to us that responsibility to do with the knowledge and the wisdom that he places before us. And can we say, thank you, God, for showing us pictures that we don't want to see, right? You think that that owner of that building wanted to see cracks like that in that foundation? No way. But somebody saw it that had the power to do something about it, and they didn't. But you know what? The cracks that are in the foundation of our lives, the cracks that have formed, and the mercy of God has come and stated, this is a concern, this is a problem. The action now is in our hands to see what we will do with the truth that wisdom brings. We can avoid wisdom all we want. I'm sure somewhere those pictures sat in a file or in a computer somewhere, and nobody wanted to really look at it or think about it. Same way in our lives. We just go on and on and on, never being at the table of wisdom, or rarely being there, so that wisdom can show and grow us. I hope you're reading Proverbs each day. I hope you are. I mean, that's between you and God, but I hope you are. Because God wants to feed and place something deep within you. And as the living Word of God breathes over our lives, see, the Holy Spirit is more than just an emotion that we feel. The Holy Spirit is wisdom. And He comes to reveal, to counsel. How'd you feel about your week? How'd you feel about this week? For some of us, it's been a horrible week. For some of us, it's been a week that we wish would just dissipate, never return. But even in that, if we had been at the table of wisdom, food of life would be given us to perceive all the stuff that is happening around us. It's like those images of that crack foundation. There was something that could be done, but it was ignored. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Will there be soldiers or faithful church members that will enter into the eternal and not receive anything from the Lord? Will there be morally good people that will stand before the Lord in judgment rather than in freedom? For we are not saved by our ability. We're saved by the ability of Jesus. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he visits us every day to renew a washing of the things that seek to hold our hearts, the things that seek to distract us. And all he wants is to set us free and set us on his foundation. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know what? He's gone like a wave. See, the cynic must stop feeding doubt. We, in our lives, we must feed wisdom. Not doubt. Wisdom is a developing process in our lives, and it must be renewed. It must be built upon. Doubt is the same way. Doubt deepens the longer we feed it. But now let's go to this real quickly. The heart of rejected wisdom, the hard words of truth. Simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? Because, you know, that's a habit. That doubt is just like if I have a food that I shouldn't be eating, but I really like it a lot. It's called what? An addiction. And it's what? It tastes good, but it's not doing me good. Doubt feels good to the flesh. Building our wisdom before God feels good to the flesh, but it must stop. How long will you feed your cynicism? And then the tough one as well, idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? The heart of rejected wisdom. Reasons for rejecting the call of wisdom. And for the Proverbs to be living in us. Reasons. We all have reasons. A foolish heart is driven deeper and deeper in us by persistency of actions. So, if my source of knowledge is myself, then that is the persistency of a fool that will live on in my life. I'm going to tell you, guys, I don't want you to get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you something, and you've heard me say it multiple times. The greatest attack of the enemy of your soul, Satan, is to isolate you from the Word of God. If he can get us contented in living this life, distance from being at the Word of God, he's cool. He's cool with that. He doesn't care if we come to church. Doesn't care how morally good we are. What he cares about is that wisdom does not grow in you. Build a habit and a delight for the Word of God to come into your heart daily. Fools can learn. Say, how do you know that? I know because I've been foolish. Right? And we say that again. Fools can learn. How do you know? Because I've been foolish. Oh, mama, get me. I've been an idiot. I've been foolish. But my past will not tell. Ooh. My past is forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So when I come to the table of wisdom, God is saying, you're only going to get this much because of what you did, right? That isn't how God works. He says, are you here and ready? Feast on what I want to give you. And watch the beauty of what happens when we recognize the blessing of wisdom that is offered every day. See, many refuse wisdom. Many just say, stop, don't want it. And that, again, is not said in words. It's said in actions, sometimes with words, too, but mainly in actions. How long will the rejection of wisdom last? And that is a real serious question to ask. How long can I get along avoiding and rejecting wisdom? How long will the call last to this heart? For we know this. Some people respond, and others, it's like totally death. God has made it clear, the eyes that perceive the Spirit, the things of life, are an act of His grace to open our perspective. We could not know Him without His mercy revealing Himself to us. But how long will wisdom be rejected? We each have a unique window of time to respond to wisdom's call, each of us. That's up to God. That is in His hands. But I can tell you this, one of the most scary words that God ever placed in my heart was when He told me, your actions are forming callous in you. And if you keep doing that, it's not me that's stepping away. It's you that's hardening your heart to a place of no return. You think that's true? It's unique for each of us. Calloused by repetitive rejection of wisdom's call. Tough love, simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? Idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? How long before wisdom is our highest pursuit? And it looks like this. When we reject wisdom, we reject Jesus. That's the bottom line. Say, Pastor, I'm tired of talking about wisdom. It's been a long series, man. Can you move on? We got one coming up soon called Last Days with a Question, okay? And y'all pray for me about that because that's heavy in my heart. Heavy in my heart. Ooh. Can we move on from wisdom? I say no. Because wisdom is, or Jesus is wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. When we reject wisdom, we reject Jesus. When we reject wisdom, think about this, church. We reject God's will for our lives. You know why you were created? To be that deposit where God's wisdom reigns. You know why you were created? To be that vessel filled with the Spirit of God's wisdom. Do you know why you're still walking upon this earth? To be filled with Jesus, to be light and salt to others. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses here as we conclude today. See, Paul had goals for the church. Paul had goals for all believers, and we see those goals represented here. The goals that are set forth in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete, say that, understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And I'm going to jump ahead to 3, but we're going to step back to 2. So that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So look here. What did Paul want? He understood without wisdom, encouragement and love will fade quickly. Without wisdom, we'll get bogged down in the cares of this life. We'll get so discouraged where we sometimes don't even want to live. But Paul understood the importance of a strengthened heart, an encouraged heart. And he also understood without love for one another, we are breaking one of the greatest commandments of God. How does encouragement persist? And how does love in our families and in our church family persist? Through the revelation of understanding and knowledge that Jesus wants to give. Right now, somebody's sidetracked. They can't get beyond the conflict with the individual. It's like, wake up. That's what you think about. That's not fun, is it? Start your day and then boom, bitterness shows right up. And you can't get past it. Some people have totally checked out of faith because when they wake up, they're discouraged and they're not loving somebody. And it's hardened them to the point of being that wave led by the circumstances of this world, led and moved by the flesh and by the cares of this life, and their life is crashing. Well, Paul understood Love must be preserved in attitude and thought, in heart and in action. If it's ever excused to be dissipated and cast aside in a particular situation, it will pour over to other situations. And it becomes sin and separation. So Paul knew, how can people stay in love? How can people stay courage to live the rest of their life upon this earth, entering into eternity? How? My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our quest for wisdom is a quest for Jesus. Our quest for knowledge is a quest to know Christ greater and greater each day. I'm going to ask if we can bow in prayer this morning. Father, you have made us a deposit for your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom that is not of us, it is not of our ability, is fully of you. And you choose to daily feed us with wisdom. You are the Word, Lord Jesus. And may you enter our hearts and minds each and every day, not as a ritual of religious practice, but seated in a relationship with you. Speak to your people through the power of your Holy Spirit. Open your Word to our understanding. Help me, if this is in your heart today, just tell him. Help me to listen and faithfully respond to the call of wisdom. It's crying out. May I faithfully respond. God, thank you. You're not holding my past against me. What I did this week, Lord, you're more than willing to forgive and able. But I will draw unto your seat. I will draw unto the table of the Lord. I will daily come to the table of wisdom. I will not reject wisdom. If we can stand to our feet this morning.